Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, page 1300 in your Scofield Bible, 1300. Beginning with the 12th verse, we'll read through verse 17. The text verse is the 14th verse. Hebrews 10, verses 12 through 17. We'll read the verses responsibly. And we will stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for a church that has two services each Sunday. We thank you for the morning service and the evening service. Sometimes we feel like we just can't hold anymore after the morning service, and then comes the evening service. But help our spiritual appetites to be whetted for this service, and help our capacity to learn and to do that which we ought to do about the message tonight. Certainly you've put upon the heart of our preacher something that you want us to know, something you want us to believe, something you want us to apply. And so help us tonight. Meet with us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think it was last Sunday. I think we had one of the homeless people, I think it was, who when something good happened, folks said amen, he just hollered pots and pans. I don't know how that fit in or anything, but he just would holler pots and pans. And while she was singing, I wanted to holler pots and pans. Without your turning to it, I read my text for you, one that you read a while ago. For by one offering, and that's my title of my sermon tonight, by one offering. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I will not use tonight the tool of humor. I will not, in fact, you will either tonight leave here praising God for what you have in Christ, or you'll leave here bored to tears, depending on how attentive you are to the sermon. I'm not going to work very hard to hold your attention. I'm just going to talk to you tonight about that one little line, for by one offering hath he perfected forever those that are sanctified. Our Heavenly Father, help me tonight as I speak. Silence the whispering voices. Arouse the slumbering saint, and help us for the next few minutes to rejoice in this one offering. For by one offering, just one, hath he perfected forever those who are sanctified. Bless me as I speak, our people as they hear, in Jesus' name, amen. To me, it is a very interesting thing that missionaries have gone to the remotest parts of the world, places where people have never had a Bible, never heard the name Jesus, and they have found people offering animal sacrifices for their sins. It is instinctive in man You leave man alone, don't let him get around a bunch of state universities, and man will believe in God. And it is also instinctive in man that something needs to pay the price for his wrongdoings. I've talked to missionaries in years gone by who have gone to remote sections of the world, only to find people in heathen countries offering pigs or cows or other animals on an altar of sacrifice for their wrongdoing. There were many sacrifices in the Old Testament. Cain and Abel started it in the Garden of Eden. When they had been told to do so, it said by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And my Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which means that God himself had spoken to Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve and told them to offer an animal sacrifice. Cain and Abel offered Cain a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, and Abel a sacrifice of the flock. After the flood was over, Noah offered, the Bible says, he took of every clean fowl and every clean beast and offered burnt offerings to the Lord. Now, this was hundreds of years before Leviticus, hundreds of years before the offerings of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, hundreds of years. And yet, Noah, after the flood, took one of each of the clean beast of the field and the fowl of the air, are you listening, and made an offering unto God. When Jacob arrived at Bethel, he had the vision of the ladder and the angels of God ascending up and down the ladder. He came to a place where he named it Mizpah. And there at Mizpah, the Bible says, he built an altar and offered a sacrifice unto God. We're talking about the patriarchal days. We're talking about the days before the Passover lamb. We're talking about the days before any written revelation ever came. God himself had spoken to man and told man to offer an animal sacrifice. Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, Job made a burnt offering for each child, the Bible says. He had 10 children. He made a burnt offering for each of those 10 children. So, Cain and Abel made an offering. Noah, after the flood, made an offering of each one of the clean animals and fowl. Jacob at Mizpah made an offering, built an altar. Job offered a burnt offering for each one. And by the way, this was way out yonder before the term burnt offering had ever been given in Exodus and Leviticus. Job also made an offering for his three friends, end quote, in his book. And then Abraham, you recall the story in Genesis, I think it is chapter 21. Abraham was told by God to go up to Mount Moriah and there offer his own son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. Are you listening to me? And so it was. Abraham left. It was a 3 days journey from where they were to Mount Moriah. And Abraham took his son Isaac and was going to obey the command of God by offering his own son Isaac. They came to Mount Moriah, and so Abraham took the wood and so forth. And his son, he said, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham took the knife to pierce the breast of his own son when suddenly a ram was caught in the thicket. And God said to Abraham, you take that ram and you offer that ram in the place of your own son. And the ram took the place of Isaac. Again, another offering in the Bible. Then came the Passover. Are you listening? Then came the Passover when God said to Moses, you tell the people in bondage that I want each household to choose a lamb. A male lamb without blemish. And I want you to take that lamb up on the first month of the year, on the 10th day of the month, corresponding with our April 10th. And I want you for 4 days to test that lamb and see that lamb is without blemish. Then on the 14th day of the month of our corresponding with our month, April, he said, I want that lamb to be offered as a sacrifice.
Now I want the blood of that lamb to be sprinkled on the lintels and the doorposts of every house. And the death angel is going to pass over during the evening time. And the death angel is going to take the life of the firstborn of every family that does not have the blood applied. May I parenthesize here for a moment and say, it didn't matter how good the family lived, if the blood wasn't applied, the child firstborn was taken. Didn't matter how religious the family was, if the blood wasn't applied, the firstborn was taken. Didn't matter how sincere the family was, if the blood wasn't applied. And by the way, not only was it the sacrifice, it was the blood of that sacrifice. You see, that lamb had to be offered as a sacrifice, and then the blood of that lamb had to be taken and applied on the doorpost and the lintel. And 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said he rose. Mary Magdalene came and started to touch him. He said, "Touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father." Why? He was taking his own blood from Calvary to sprinkle his own blood on heaven's mercy seat. And these people that say the blood of Jesus is still at the foot of the cross, they need to get an old-fashioned dose of salvation. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is not at the foot of the cross. It's on the mercy seat in the holy place, even in heaven at this very moment.
Then came the law of Leviticus. The sin offering, if you please. The most important of the offerings of Leviticus and of the Jews after they were delivered from the land of Egypt. It was the sin offering. What the sin offering was all about, it prepared man for his access to God. The sin offering was that offering that said to God, "We have made provision for our access to you." The offering is continued. Then came the burnt offering, if you please, and it expressed the giving of one's entire life to God. When that burnt offering was made, it simply said to God, "My entire life is given to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily live. I surrender all. Jesus, I and my cross have taken all to leave and follow thee." I said in my class this morning, I've said to you before, show me anywhere in this Bible where he wants part of your life. Show me any place in this Bible where he wants second place. You call me a fanatic, call me what you want to call me. God wants you, as Dr. Rice used to say, God wants the money in the billfold. He wants the billfold that covers the money. He wants the pants the billfold's in, and he wants the man that's in the pants. God wants all of you, and he'll not be satisfied that you give all to him. So it was. The burnt offering simply said, "I'm giving my entire life to God." Then came the meal offering, an offering of a vow to serve God. When they offered the meal offering, they were simply saying, "I give you my allegiance that I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do your will." Then came the peace offering. The peace offering was the offering that gave man the right to fellowship with God. Access to God was back yonder before. Now then, the right to fellowship with God, once you come into his presence, that was symbolized by the meal offering. And then came the peace offering. Then came the trespass offering. The trespass offering was an offering given for specific sins. If a man had gotten drunk, he made a trespass offering. If a man had committed an awful sin, or any sin, he made a trespass offering. The trespass offering was for individual sins. Then came the incense offering. The incense on the altar of incense, offering sweet-smelling savors heavenward constantly, a symbol of Jesus Christ, my high priest, at this very moment interceding for me at the right hand of the Father. Then came the offering of the first fruits of the harvest. This was Thanksgiving time. Now, so far, we've seen Cain and Abel's offering. We've seen Noah's offering. We've seen Jacob's offering. We've seen Job's two offerings. We've seen Abraham's offering. We've seen the offering of the Passover. We've seen the offering, the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and the meal offering, and the peace offering, and the trespass offering. We've seen the incense offering. And then now we come to the offering of the first fruits. This was Thanksgiving time. This was the offering thanking God for the provisions for their lives for another year. Then came offering of the first fruits of the dough and threshing floor at harvest time. And then came the great day of atonement when that offering was made. In fact, several offerings. But the one I talk about tonight, the great day of atonement, that was when the high priest would come and make an offering. Then sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat.
and then come out on the 10th day of the 7th month, October 10th, if you please, and lift his hands toward heaven and cry, "It is finished!" And the people throughout all the camp heard the high priest shout, "It's finished! Another year! God has accepted our offering and atonement for sin! It is finished!" 2,000 years ago, another high priest said, "It is finished! Our offering for sin is finished!"
And then came not only the great day of atonement, but the showbread offering. Every Sabbath day, 12 rolls of bread were placed in the tabernacle on the table of showbread as a special offering to God. Then came the cleansing of the leper. The two birds were taken, birds alive and clean. One of those birds was killed. And then the living bird was dipped in the blood of the dead bird and then let go into the sky, a symbol, the dead bird symbol, that Jesus died for us. And the living bird symbol, that Jesus rose again for our justification. And the dead bird symbol, the fact that our sins are nailed to Calvary. And the living bird symbolized the fact our sins are remembered no more. Then came offering after offering after offering. I've given you 18 sacrifices. 18. Not only were there many offerings, but there also were many times of offering. Some offerings were twice daily, such as the morning and evening sacrifice, and such as the burnt offerings, twice daily. Other offerings were daily, as the daily burnt offering and the daily meat offering. Other offerings were weekly, such as the showbread on the table, and such as the special meat offering made every single week. Some offerings were annual, such as the Passover, the Feast of the Trumpets, Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of the Tabernacles, and the Day of Atonement. These were annual offerings. Some offerings were periodic, such as the sin offering at each new moon time. I'm saying there are many offerings and then many different times of offering. Not only that, there are many different types of offerings accepted, sacrifices accepted by God. The lamb, as on the Passover, showing Christ the submissive one. The bullock or ox that pulls a plow, offered, showing Jesus as the burden bearer. The goat, if you please, showing Jesus as our sin bearer. The dove, symbolizing peace with God. The pigeon, for people too poor to offer a lamb, they could take a pigeon and offer the pigeon, a symbol of our sacrifice. The incense offering, a symbol of intercession. The wheat was offered as a symbol of provision. The bread and the meal as a symbol of sufficiency. I'm saying there are many different offerings and many different times for those offerings and many different sacrifices acceptable to God. Then, there are many different purposes. Some offerings were Eucharistic, if you please, meaning they were to bring man into fellowship with God. Other offerings were expiatory, which means an appeasement for our sins. Other offerings were dedicatory, as surrendering to God to serve. Other offerings were federative, as sealing a covenant. Some offerings were deprecatory, as an apology for sin. All of this makes my text shine more brightly. God took all the sacrifices and bundled them into one sacrifice. God took all of the times and bundled them into one time 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. God took all these offerings and bundled them into the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. God took all of these purposes and bundled them into one purpose. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom the Apostle Paul said he was chief, and paid the penalty on Calvary for our sins. By one offering, not 18 offerings, not twice a day, once a day, once a week, once a month, several times a year, or once a year, but at one time, by one offering, he's perfected every single person who's sanctified. And so, when John the Baptist in John 1:29 stood on the banks of the Jordan and saw the strange one coming, one whose feet had never walked an evil path,
whose eyes had never seen what they should not have seen, whose ears had never heard what they should not have heard, whose hands had never touched what they should not have touched, whose mouth had never spoken what it should not have spoken, whose heart had never done a motive it should not have had, whose mind had never thought a thought it should not have had, that sinless, that Passover, that burnt offering, that trespass offering, that meal offering. In one, John the Baptist said, behold, not a Lamb of God, but the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. When Jesus went to Calvary's brazen altar, he nailed to the cross all of the offerings and made one offering for our sins. One sacrifice. One time. One offering. One purpose. So, if you're not saved and want to go to heaven when you die, come to Calvary. If you are saved and have sinned, come to Calvary. If you have a burden or a heartache, come to Calvary. If you are at unrest and want peace, come to Calvary. If you're lonely and want fellowship, come to Calvary. If you want victory over some sin, come to Calvary. If you want forgiveness, come to Calvary. If you want leadership, come to Calvary. If you want strength, come to Calvary. If you want encouragement, come to Calvary. If you want comfort, come to Calvary. If you want joy, come to Calvary. For by one offering, 2,000 years ago, on Golgotha's brow, that offering was made to bring peace, salvation, joy, encouragement. Everything you need, you'll find at the foot of the cross. You don't need to go to the Pope. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to the priest. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to confession. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to the psychiatrist. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to the humanistic counselor. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to the psychic. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to penance. Come to Calvary. You don't need to go to mass. Come to Calvary. You don't need to join the church. Come to Calvary. You don't come to a preacher, or a priest, or a rabbi, or a pope. You come to Calvary. For by one offering, he's perfected all those that are sanctified. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die, but he devoted that sacred head for such a worm as I. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, Jesus paid it all. The old account was settled long ago. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. He took the Passover. He took the sin offering. He took the burnt offering. He took the meal offering. He took the peace offering. He took the trespass offering. He took the first fruits offering. He took the Day of Atonement offering. He took the incense offering. He took the showbread offering and bundled them all into one great bundle. And when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, when Jesus went to Calvary and died on the cross, by one offering, that's all you need. You don't need ashes on your head. You need the blood of Christ applied to your sins. You don't need confession of some priest who ought to go to confession himself. You come straight to the cross of Calvary and fall on your knees and look up and say, Jesus, I give my life to you. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I deserve to go to hell. But I know on the cross 2,000 years ago, by that one offering, you paid my price for sin. And I come to Jesus and I trust you as my Savior. But that isn't all. If you've got some sin in your life tonight, come down to this altar and kneel at Calvary. If you've got some trespass in your life, some evil in your life, come to Calvary. If you want encouragement, get on your knees at the old-fashioned altar and come to Calvary. Oh, thank God tonight. Thank God tonight. We don't have to have a Mass every week. We don't have to have a Passover season. Our Passover was once and for all. He took the twice daily offerings and added to that the daily offerings and added to that the weekly offerings, and added to that the annual offerings, and added to that the periodic offerings. And at one time, he settled it by one offering. He took the lamb, added to that the ram, added to that the bullock, added to that the ox, added to that the goat, added to that the dove, added to that the pigeon, added to that the incense, added to that the wheat, added to that the meal, added to that the bread. And he himself was our past offering. He was our burnt offering. He was our Passover offering. He was our Day of Atonement offering. He was our Feast of the Trumpets offering. He was our Feast of the Tabernacle offering. He was the Feast of Passover offering. That one offering at one time. He also bundled the Eucharistic offering, the expiatory offering, the dedicatory offering, the third offering. And by one offering, he perfected them that are sanctified. That's all you need tonight. That's all you need. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there. By faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Is your heart broken tonight? Come to Calvary. Are you lonely tonight? Come to Calvary. Do you need forgiveness as a Christian tonight? Come to Calvary. Do you hunger for fellowship with God? Come to Calvary. Do you not know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Come to Calvary. You don't come to baptistry. You don't come to the sacrament day, Lord's Supper table. You don't come to the church. You don't come to the preacher. You don't come to the pope. Hey, take off your vestments, priest. Put on a business suit. You're a sinner just like all the rest of us. I'm saying he took every single offering. He took that wonderful, wonderful offering of Abel and Cain and Abel, and the offering of Noah, and the offering of Jacob, and the offering of John, of Job, and the offering of Abraham, and the Passover, and the all Leviticus sin offering, and the burnt offering, and the meal offering, and the peace offering, and the trespass offering, and the incense offering, and the offering of the first fruits, and the first fruits of the dough, and the great atonement offering, and the showbread offering, and the cleansing of the leper, birds alive and clean offering. And they took those for twice daily and once daily, and once a week, and then once a year. All the offerings and all the times and all the animals. And John the Baptist said, hey, folks, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. When Christ shouted, it is finished, it was then that by one offering he perfected all those that are sanctified. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful truth. What a tremendous Savior. And what a great day it was.